This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post. Sean, don't actually name the players, but we're doing a fun trivia question for Nuggets tickets on Monday against the Jazz. And I'm asking the listeners to text in a player from the 2009 roster that lost in the Western Conference Finals to the Kobe Bryant-led Lakers. Give me a percentage of how many players you think you could name just off the top of your head.
The entire 08-09 roster.
Yeah.
4 to 5. Not as many as I should admit out loud.
It's harder than you think.
It is. Because you remember the stars, but then you're like, were they still there?
Yep.
And there were some big pieces that moved back and forth in that stretch.
So yeah.
I'd like to think I'd do better than 4 or 5. But I might be stuck.
Yeah, you get to 4 or 5 pretty easy, and then suddenly you're like, this is tough. But the listener, we're doing pretty good. There's not a lot of wrong answers. We had one listener that said Karl Malone, which threw me off because you had Karl right. So I don't know. Do I give him that? We had one actually throw out Rocky the mascot, and technically Rocky's on the team. Is he on the roster though?
No. Your audience, sharp cookie.
Well, there's some good ones. We are actually getting
through the crumble pile. I imagine most of your audience would do better than the 5 or 6 that I would do off the top of my head.
They're doing pretty good so far. So we'll see who's going to win those tickets. Sean, interesting here. Obviously, rough news with Brandon Jones going down for the Broncos. Bad timing, of course. But first off. Are you kind of hearing then, like, he's out for the rest of the season, but he could be available in the playoffs? Is that true?
Yeah, that he's a little farther along potentially than the J.K. Dobbins timeline, if that makes sense, which is like, we forget that. Oh, he's done. Well, no, technically he could come back the first week in February. So if you're in that game, you could have this triumphant return. I think he's middle of next month, late next month, from what people, or maybe it's more late next month, which is again where you want to be and a problem you want to have. So now you know at least you've got to navigate 4 or 5 weeks without him. And that might be the most optimistic view, but I think that is how they're looking at it right now.
Okay, so then we're looking at a guy like PJ Locke jumping in to take over. However, I know you guys were going around about this in the Denver Post. Is it worth kicking the tires on old pal Justin Simmons? Is that even realistic to talk about?
I think it's worth it. I don't think Sean Payton will do it. So it's one of those wants versus wishes versus reality. And I imagine 70% of Broncos country and an even bigger chunk of your audience is like, "Hello, just do this." Because you have a chance to bring a popular player back, certainly a player popular with fans, a player who at his peak was at an all-pro level and knows a lot of the concepts and what they're doing with Vance Joseph, who played for Vance Joseph twice, in both his stints. And he's here, and he doesn't have a gig. And he is really just kind of missing a ring and a playoff team on his resume. I don't think it's going to happen. I know it makes too much sense given the circumstances, but let's just say there is one voice and it comes to personnel and that locker room and that this team's construction. And I don't think he's sold. I mean, I could be wrong. I personally like Justin a lot. I mean, full disclosure and a lot of media do. I don't know if that's a universally held position in the locker room. And I don't know that that's a universally held position by the coaching staff, including one coach who calls everything.
Yeah.
If it's Sean Payton's choice, it won't happen. But it would make a lot of sense. And I can't say I can explain entirely why Payton feels that way, but he might still. So I'd be shocked. But it does. It makes so much sense. I get it. Everyone's like, why don't you just do this now? And how is this a bad thing? I don't know, but I'm not sure Sean Payton agrees. And it's hard, again, it's hard to argue with a ship that's sitting where it is. They have to know better than we do to some degree how to try to keep that on course.
Yeah, and it's like the fanboy in me is like Justin Simmons, man. Like he's with Garrett Bowles and Cortland Sutton. Let's, you know, the guys that were there through the really difficult time. Is it because wasn't it Justin Simmons that blocked a field goal against Sean Payton's Saints? Do you think that's what this is all about? Is that what this is?
With Sean, you never know. I just know, honestly, he didn't like the contract. It's kind of similar to the Michael Porter situation, in that it's not so much about the guys, it's about the contract. I do think it's a little about the fit, too, and we'll just kind of leave it at that. And I'm not sure I agree with it, but I'm not 12-2. So I'm with you. I just would be surprised if that happened. I would. And it's too bad, because it really does. It certainly doesn't make any less sense than pulling somebody off the street and running them in, but Sean is Sean, and you take the rough with the smooth, and this is one that you kind of shake your head. But and it'd be disappointing as someone who obviously likes Justin personally, would like to see that added to his resume, as I'm sure he would, but I don't know. I'd also be surprised if it happened.
He's going to be one of those guys that goes down in the Broncos trivia, you know, like best players on their bad teams, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, and there, everyone's, you know, Floyd Little was that for a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was the original that at a time when he was the franchise, because he was all they had. And one of the reasons they stuck around at a time where there was a time, Well, pre-Elway, well, you know, 10 years before that, well, more than 10 years, 15 years before that, where this was a bad, bad AFL team and a bad, bad AFL franchise that really, really, really changed the course for itself into the mid, late 70s and into the 80s and has never looked back. But it was like the Steelers. Steelers were really, you know, way older than me. In our lifetimes, we've only known good to certainly consistent Steelers. They were terrible for a lot of the 60s and 70s until the early 70s. So Broncos very much in that vein too. And they've had those players. And yeah, unfortunately, I think that's kind of how Justin's legacy here will be seen. And that's too bad. And maybe someday that changes, but I don't know that this is the someday.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post, Keeling Me Softly time. One of your articles in the Denver Post, check it out online, denverpost.com. I love this because it changed my tune before this game started, but you highlight this. Broncos Alex Singleton get last laugh as Packers pregame intimidation hilariously backfires. Sean, full disclosure, I did my picks on Friday. Everybody knows that. And I picked the Broncos to lose. I picked the Packers to cover.
You're the one.
I'm the doubter. I'm the one that Garrett Bowles wants to destroy. I'm the doubter. I do believe in the Broncos, though. I just, for that moment, I thought, okay, maybe things have been going too great. A loss isn't going to kill them. They fire back, and then they get ready to go for the playoffs. However, I was wrong. Before the game starts, though, I start seeing all the antics pregame, and I go, oh, yeah, I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to be wrong about this. The Broncos are going to find a way.
Yeah, I'll admit you're certainly, as an observer, it was okay. And for any of these games, maybe not the Chiefs, although that's on the road. No, still no, not the Chiefs. I've taken that one off the good teams. Yeah, three good teams and Gardner Minshew to finish out any of those now, especially with Mahomes out. Before Mahomes would have been out, would have been losable to your point. So. Yeah, I think they played we're the underdog, how dare you make us a 2-point dog at home card a little strong, because, as you know, betting lines are meant to get the most action for the people setting the bets. So when you see a line like that, you're like, yeah, there's some disrespect. And you're like, yeah, but that's because they want more action on the Broncos. They clearly got it and clearly got the money. And hopefully that paid off for those who did. So, but coaches are funny beasts. Locker rooms are funny beasts. And you'll pick on anything to use at your advantage. It's certainly psychologically. I think Alex Singleton may have had some interesting motives and was not as innocent as he portrayed himself, and that maybe they needed a little something there to get everybody fired up and knowing that the level, certainly a healthy Packers team, is this is the quality of team you're going to get the rest of the way, including next month when it really counts. So, yeah, you know, you have to play some mind games. I think there were some mind games played pregame, and I think that clearly played to the Broncos' advantage because if you, it's easy to get your eye off the ball, even if you're good at this time of year, because holidays and whatever else, and you're waiting to get set for the playoffs when things really amp up. You know, sometimes you have to do some clever stuff, and I think they were, let's just say they were very clever on Sunday, and it helped them push through.
Sean, this this game coming up against Jacksonville, it's an interesting one. Jacksonville, they don't scream off of the page to you. They're kind of middle of the road in a lot of major categories. However, one of the big ones for them last year, they were minus 15 in turnover differential. This year they're plus 10. They're tied for third. So that's, to me, like the big key. They're not turning it over a lot, and they have guys that can create turnovers.
And Lawrence has kind of settled down and kind of found himself again a little bit. I think they're what we call sneaky good. In a way, they've got a lot of the traits that people who haven't seen the Broncos that see them or have to visit them, you know, NFC media, whatever, and then go, oh, okay, that D is for real. Although, frankly, I don't think it played all that. That D played all that great against Green Bay, and they still pulled it out. Certainly not in the first half, anyway. I think Jacksonville is very Bronco-like in that way, and that I think they've got it. The whole is better than the individual parts, and how that's coming together defensively. Like you said, they're kind of team takeaway now. Lawrence is playing better. They made that trade in midseason to kind of solidify the wide receiver core alongside, I believe, Thomas. And even without Travis Hunter and all the myriad of things that he could do, they kind of really found themselves. And when you're we know what that's like because that's what's happened here. So you know, they can lose this one. This is a weird week. When you got a short week coming up, I don't know that they will because I think they're so good at home and they're at a place mentally at home where it would have so many. Again, they played badly here. They've laid a stinker and it was the Giants game and they still somehow did it. They might be due for another one. I don't think this Packers game was that because they were so much better in the second half. If they play like that first half team here, they'll be trailing against the Jaguars. I mean, that offense is really humming right now, and it's a pretty good O-line. Again, very Bronco. These are kind of too Bronco-ish. The Texans are like that, too, when they're right. These are two very similar teams where I think Denver's defense is a little better, well, probably a lot better. I think Jacksonville's offense is maybe a little better where it's configured right now. Certainly you got Etienne in your backfield, no disrespect to Harvey and Jaleel and everybody, et cetera, on down the line. But that makes for a good game, and that makes for a good test because this is another one. And we would have thought the Chiefs would have been that, but they won't. This is another one, and the Chargers will be that too. Of you're kind of getting three playoff games before your playoff games. I think they can, but I think if you had doubts about this one and even doubts about the Chargers, I wouldn't hold it against you. I think the only game that they are a slam dunk on paper, and that's only because of the Mahomes situation, is at Kansas City, believe it or not, because I don't know what the Chiefs have left to play for. Like, it's a short week for them. I mean, they'll be like, they're going to want to play spoiler. But with Gardner Minshew, I don't know. You know, but yeah, I think the Jags are very Bronco-like, and that's meant as a compliment.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting game. It's a confusing game for sure, but this is a big one. If the Broncos can win this one, and the Patriots lose, they got a big one against Baltimore. The Chargers lose, the Bills lose, and those are all like a lot of things have to happen.
Yeah.
But if that happens, Broncos lock it down. They get the number one seed, and they don't have to worry about the next two. I don't know if they're going to bench people for 2 weeks, but it is a fascinating weekend. There's a lot of meaning to this one.
And there is a possibility. We talked about this after the game some, not in any haughty way, but just looking at it objectively, to your point, that Chargers game could be a JV game. That could be what the Chiefs did, where if you have that, I think you want to get that locked up as quickly as possible, and that's why I think there's still a safe pick, although it'll be a pretty good game for the reasons we talked about with Jacksonville, why I think they're going to be a business mode going down to Kansas City, because if they can clinch something in Kansas City, who, other than spoiling your season, don't have any, you know, it would behoove the Chiefs to lose out, frankly, get a better draft pick at this point. If you're not gonna make it, if you're gonna have a turd of a season in the middle of a dynasty or the middle of the Mahomes era, you might as well stink it up as much as possible mathematically to help yourself. Which is not how Andy Reid thinks, but you know, it is conceivable that the Chargers game, I think you want to go where that Chargers game doesn't mean anything. And that means you gotta win two in a short week, which they can do. Don't know if they will, but they can. And it really sets you up well then to get yourself ready for the middle of next month, which is really what it's all about. As we say in baseball terms, get your pitching rotation lined up and get the people you can and at least know, obviously, without having Jones at safety health-wise, start getting the chess pieces where you need to get them and prepare for who you've got to prepare for. Because it's going to be a wild AFC bracket. If it's still holding to form, especially with the Texans playing better, and if the Bills are starting to wake up and realize that they're, you know, again, we've talked about this. The Broncos are always in a good position to host. You want to get that one seed. You want the two games at home. And then who's going to come to Denver that scares you the most? And it might be Buffalo. I don't know if it's Houston, although Stroud would love a chance at these guys. Can this team beat Buffalo at home? In a game that counts. It can, and it's certainly better than going there. Good grief, is it better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I keep an eye on those 6-7 seeds and where they are, because it's going to be a fascinating bracket given the new money, the new blood that's likely to have home field for the postseason.
Sean, always great stuff from you, my man. Hey, I'm off starting next Wednesday, so happy New Year, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all of that stuff, man. You know, we love having you on the show, and this will be, I guess, the last time for 2025. How about that?
All right. Well, Happy Christmas, Hanukkah, holidays to you and yours. Happy New Year. I was wondering, I'm going to be taking next week off as well, in between Bronco games, so safe travels to you and yours, and I will be thinking of you in Iowa or wherever I am visiting family next Wednesday, not taking a call from you on the road in Nebraska.
We did one.
You could call me.
Yeah.
You could call me.
Even if I'm off the air, I'm just going to call you and set it up like it's an actual interview.
I may be in Omaha somewhere at this time, I think, next week, but you are welcome to call me. If everything goes right, I will be somewhere between Omaha and Council Tucky, as the locals call it, heading towards Des Moines for 4 or 5 days with the family. We will extend the family, and we'll see where it goes from there. But safe travels to you and yours. It's been an interesting 2025, certainly more good than bad, but never boring. And let's hope for a kinder, gentler, but no more less eventful 2026. Let's get that rolling.
I'm right there, man. I'm right there with you, my friend. Sean, appreciate it, and we'll you be careful, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks.
See all right, man. Bye. Sean Keeler, Denver Post. Mike, we've got some good ones here coming in. So 970 already says, hey, I can't win, but Ronaldo Balkman was a favorite of mine. Yeah, that one counts. And so even though you can't win, that you can't use that one. Anthony Carter, which I did give you, that counts. Stickman, Birdman, Chris Anderson. Yep, that one counts. Eastside Chris says, tough judges. Chauncey? Yes, Chauncey Billups was on that team. And a text from 970, Andre Iguodala. No, he was not on that team. So, Andre played 1 year for the Nuggets, and it was when Carmelo Anthony was not on this roster. It was guys like Danilo Gallinari, so it was from that trade. So, that doesn't count. So, there you go. We got
so
a lot
you,
of...
you don't get it, Mr. Andre Iguodala?
Correct.
Texter?
Yeah, you're not in.
Or miss.
Isai Chris guessed wrong to start... And then threw in Chauncey. Do you get multiple times? And those of you that are giving me multiple names, I appreciate the effort, but I'm only going to take the first one.
And you're screwing over other people.
I'm going to take the last one I read because Stickman threw out two more, which are correct, but I'm only going to take one See, we got a bunch of them just listing a bunch of different. You can only list one.
Stop
cheating.
Stop, like, trying to be as smart as me.
Well, and Keeler was fighting back on giving the Rocky one, but you accepted it, and these
are
the rules.
I accept it, because Rocky's pretty badass.
Yeah, Rocky's cool. Rocky's an amazing mascot. Okay, so that's my question. If you want 4 tickets to go see the Nuggets take on the Utah Jazz, plus parking, or if you can't go, you can gift them to someone. I'm going to give them to you. All I need to know is who on that roster... who was on that roster in 2008, 2009 when the Nuggets lost to the Los Angeles Lakers in the Western Conference Finals? Anthony Carter is off the list. Ronaldo Balkman is off the list. Carmelo Anthony is off the list. Chauncey is off the list. Rocky is off the list. Birdman Chris Anderson is off the list. So there's still several more names there. Some fairly popular names. A couple of hints. One guy, once he was done with basketball, went back and got a degree and... pretty good golfer.
And one guy wasn't even on it, Andre Iguodala.
Andre Iguodala is not, he was only with the Nuggets 1 year.
And that was something about the Carmelo.
One of their best power forwards they ever had played for Cincinnati.
The Bengals?
First advanced text line, 888. Like, what in your mind? You know that's the wrong answer, but you think it's cute and hilarious, and literally nobody in their world will laugh at that, because it's like, that's football compared to basketball. Like, come on, Mike, come on.
I'm laughing.
It's not like, you are not, how do I put this delicately? You are the least funny person I've ever met. Like, your jokes are what a toddler tells, but they're cute because they're toddlers. And they don't really make sense when they tell jokes. You tell the same jokes and it's like, that's a grown man saying that. That was just wasted words. Those were wasted words, Mike. From now on, your jokes are going to be labeled as wasted words. How about that? Faith
that
says,
is one demerit. Yeah.
One
demerit,
strike.
Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's two now. Faith says, Nene. Yeah, that's another one. He was on the list, too. He was on that roster as well. And before you say something stupid, let's get out now while we can. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.